'94 budget.
Mm-hmm.
The FY '94 budget is not in any way contained in 370. You can cut it on paper all you want, but mm-hmm. you don't accomplish it. You either have to go back in the budget and reduce last year's level, or else you have to lapse it. So we haven't cut the carry forward. The carry forward is still hanging out there. It's either going to lapse
yeah.
or it's going to be rolled forward in a reappropriation or other bill.
But in the case of a lapse, it would be $700,000 less. In the case of a roll forward, it would be the same.
You want to lapse it both ways, fine.
Would you lapse in 94 affect what you spend?
Okay, now, first of all, were there any objections to the motion to divide the question?
Withdraw.
Was there any objections to that being withdrawn? Hearing none, we're back to the main amendment number one. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Parnell.
Yes.
Representative Terrio.
Yes.
Representative Brown.
No.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Representative Grusendorf.
Yes.
Representative Hanley.
Yes.
Representative Hoffman.
No.
Representative Martin.
Pass.
Representative Navarre.
Yes.
Representative McLean.
Yes.
Representative Larson?
Yes.
Representative Martin?
You got it, so I can play it safe and say no.
8 yeas, 3 nays.
Please note, amendment number one has been adopted. Amendment number two, Representative Navarre.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to offer the other amendment. We're all taken care of.
Is there anything else under the court system? None. We move on to health and social services.
O fund. No, that's fine. Okay. I said O fund.
Oh, O fund. Commissioner Moe, would you like to join us at the table, please?
I don't have health and social services.
I thought he's got an amendment.
I don't have my thanks.
Amendment number one will be by Chairman McLean. Amendment number two by Representative Hanley. Amendment number three is by Representative Hanley. Amendment number four, Representative Hanley. Amendment number five is Representative Hanley. Amendment number six is by Representative Hoffman. Number seven by Representative Navarre. Number eight by Representative Hoffman. Number nine by Representative Brown. Number 10 by Representative Hanley. Number 11 by Representative Hanley. Number 12 by Representative Hanley.
These are all tens.
And number 13 will be by Representative Hanley. 14 is also in tent by Representative Brown. The last one I have.
No, 14 is not by Brown. By Martin.
It's legislative intent.
I'm sorry.
That's the one we. I put under health and social services instead of. Right along. So number 14 then is Representative Martin. And we'd like to extend No, there's no 15.
Mr. Chairman, what is the wording on Representative Martin's?
It's the one where we're deleting general relief medicine. Partial.
Starts off by saying amendment to House Bill 370 offered by Representative Martin. Page blank, line blank, Department of Health and Social Services, Medical Assistance, DRU.
Have it now.
Okay, and Representative Martin would have intent language too, so we'll call that amendment number 15.
But I said, I only have 15 copies of
The clerk will have to hand out the intent language.
But I didn't have the other intent.
Oh, no, that's a three-hole punch here.
Yes. This one is 15? No, that one's 14. 14.
Mark's got all kinds of goodies coming up.
This is the proper chart.
If you assume, this is the government, this is 70% of this, which was the ongoing amount. So that is what, for, if you reduce by 30%, because the 30% matches the full amount of state funds. Under the governor's program, this is what Anchorage would get.
Right.
If we had the old formula,
which is 80,
this is what Anchorage would have received. And then that would be the full amount. Under the current program that we have, this is what we're getting. We're actually getting a little bit more in both state cash and that. So that we made a mistake, and what we had done, and the reason it was messed up, was back here, there was a... $160,000 in the match.
But when you're saying this is what we would have gotten in FY93,
yeah, I'm sorry if we could get everyone back, please. Four, five, six, seven, eight. We have our quorum. We're able to conduct business. We'd like to extend the floor to you, Commissioner Lowe, if you'd like to make any general comments before we start on the amendments being proposed.
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe we have any introductory comments. We've been dealing with Representative Hanley, and I think we've been well in quorum. So just
thank you.
To answer questions.
Thank you for being with us today. Amendment number one is by Representative McLean.
Yes, I'd like to move amendment number one. What it would do would be to add back $6,175,000 to the alcohol and drug abuse grants, and there's still a reduction of $2,275,000 in the component from the governor's proposed budget. And we have been informed by the division that an $8 million reduction from the alcohol and drug abuse grants will cause the closure of many treatment programs across the state. And if these programs are closed down, there is no alternative treatment for people residing in especially the rural areas.
Do we have any discussion? No, I just have one or two. I woke up last night about 2:30 in the morning, and that's always dangerous. How much money does the state appropriate, say, for someone with heart disease or cancer or other diseases? I can never remember seeing anything else in the budget for other diseases other than, you know, general help. Do we have anything in the budget for any of those other diseases?
As far as Medicaid. Yeah. It'd be our Medicaid, Mr. Chairman. Be the Medicaid payments.
Be the Medicaid to the... Okay, and that would be then for the poor. These nonprofits that provide the alcohol and drug abuse programs. If a person can afford to pay, do they have to pay, or is the services provided free?
Mr. Chairman, many of these services have been provided free, although there is some collection done, and as we move into using more Medicaid refinancing with this program, we are really encouraging more payment for services.
And there are funding sources then through Medicaid for alcohol and drug abuse treatment,
Medicaid
and through mental health trust.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone have any further questions? Representative Navarro.
I want to know what the status is of the government's legislation. Taxes.
On the governor's list of increased taxes.
Alcohol
and
tobacco.
I don't know. I'm sure we can find that out. Is it in State Affairs Committee?
I'd be a good guess.
I see someone had mentioned that somewhere.
Mr. Chairman, I think that would be an appropriate source of funding for these programs. Even if you did it at a reduced level if necessary. But that it would certainly make sense to find a funding source.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way about motor fuel tax at 1 cent for the leaky underground storage tank.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Gusendorf.
Well, we're talking funding source, and we presently have an excise tax on alcoholic beverages that generate more than what this program is asking for. Mm-hmm. And that was probably the intent when it was passed in the first place, much as we're talking about this new piece of legislation funding this shortfall. So we already have a tax that does that.
Well.
Okay, we got a number here. Representative Terry O'Brien Navarro.
Well, that might be true, but there are other costs to society other than the treatment. There's lost productivity, there's just general health. Payments that's got to be figured into that too, what you are and are not paying for.
Mr. Chairman, I'm aware of that, and we also have to apply that to the law enforcement officers and the court systems and other things dealing with it. But I'm just saying that we're talking here about a new tax to take care of this thing, but we already have one that generates for that, and we're talking about as if this new thing is going to be just for this. Well, that's not going to be so. And there is a shortfall in this area here by the cuts that was taken in that subcommittee.
Mr. Chairman,
I support this amendment.
Chairman
McLean. I just would like to provide the information that the state has already lost $1 million in federal funds for fiscal year 94 as a result of cuts taken last session, and then further reductions for fiscal year 95 to the grant program will result in a greater loss of federal funding in fiscal year 96. And the grantees have already been cut, their grants reduced by the current year of 5%.
I'm sorry, Representative Brown?
I'll pass.
Representative Navarre?
My point was already made.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Martin?
Well, I have a couple questions here. One, Anchorage is going to go ahead now by a public initiative and have a vote on April the 19th to increase their local taxes. And if it does pass, that's probably bring in about $8 million. I think that other local communities can do that too, and therefore you keep the money in-house in your own community to solve your own local problems. I agree with the chairman that it's so frustrating over the years to have poured millions and millions, literally hundreds of millions, into alcohol prevention and control, and we'll keep on told that the problem gets worse and worse and worse. And it makes me feel that, well, maybe we're pampering the people too much. I know in Anchorage, I sat on the Public Inebriate Committee for 3 years, and the decision there by some of the best, most sensitive people to this issue is that it's frustrating. We're doing nothing but sending them to Bean Cafe to eat, sending them to the Francis House to sleep, and then sending them to medical programs to get healthy, and they keep their monies and wish to buy more booze. And one of our best former commissioners of the Department of Health just concluded pulling out her head. We don't know what to do. And that maybe we are babying them. Judge, one of our judges was on that board too for 3 years, and he threw up his hands and said, we got nothing but a revolving door, pampering people, and it's very good. In Anchorage, they spent about $6 million on that one core group downtown a year, and just monitoring them, and still some freeze at night and some die in other ways, but I don't know what progress we're making. It's real frustrating. Disappointing. I know in Anchorage, I'd much rather them raise the taxes locally than it would be used locally to solve its own problem.
I don't know how to ask my next question, but it kind of goes like this. You know, I want to support this amendment. Supporting this amendment, I also want it understood that I don't want to support an alcohol and drug abuse treatment bureaucracy. That I want the money to go to the clients, not to the bureaucracy. And we heard two nights of teleconferences from 125 people, and only one, and I know who that one was, and he had gone through a program. So we didn't hear from anyone who hadn't either been in the program or providing the services. And that was 125 out of 188 people who testified. Yesterday I mentioned I got 165 pieces of correspondence. 163 of them said increase the budget. And I didn't count, but I'd say out of that 163, 100 of them mentioned alcohol and drug abuse treatment programs. So I can see that it's a concern to a group of folks. And I can see the benefit to that group of folks being extended throughout the society, because everyone benefits if there's fewer drunk drivers, everyone benefits if there's fewer of all the rest of the evils that are associated with it. But I do want to thank the commissioner, because I asked her for a list earlier in the year in regards to the salaries that are paid to the executive directors of those of the alcohol and drug abuse. And the information that you provided me is probably the information that's going to lead me to vote yes on this amendment. Because I didn't find any of them that were higher than the governor, some pretty close to the governor. But I guess what I'm saying is that all the boards of the different nonprofits are on the state of Alaska. I want them to realize also the financial picture of the state of Alaska, and that the unlimited funding coming from the state to those boards to provide the programs that are badly needed are used for treatment, and that they too take a close look at the salaries and compensation and so forth that they're paying to their individual members. My comments for the day, I guess, on this program. Any other discussion on amendment number one?
Mr. Chairman?
Just stopped myself from voting for it. I was going to vote no. Representative Hanley?
And I think it's important that the department, and I think they do realize, we've got to continue with our outcome program to make sure that, even the people that testified, the people that ran the programs, suggested that they don't know what the effects are. I mean, people run through the program, they don't track necessarily. Some do. There's a few that do, but a lot do not. They do not know what the effects are. The other thing, we've been looking at it, and I'm not sure, I hope the department continues to work with us on that, and it goes to one of the things you brought up before, was trying to require for a state, if we're going to give a state grant, that the recipients provide a match. And the match should come from the people that are getting the services. We require, even in Medicaid now, some nominal co-payments for people that receive Medicaid, yet in these programs, it's all over the board. Some people do require payments, and some of it's on a sliding scale for some of these nonprofits when you want to go in and get treated. But on a large number of them, they don't require anything. And it doesn't matter, you come in and you've got a $100,000 a year job, or you don't make any money a year, and you get the same treatment, you don't pay. So I think we need to try and establish some type of policy where there is an ability to collect from people that have an ability to pay. Now, I know there is some third-party billing going on, so if people have insurance, but I'm not even sure that all of that's being done, you know, so that the whole system is not standardized so that people that get treated in one place by one get, you know, if I went in with a certain income level, I might go get treated and they might make me pay most of my costs because of my income level, whereas I went to a different one, they wouldn't make me pay anything, or some would require a one-time payment of a certain amount. So that it's, I think that's important for the department to try and, number one, get some of that back so that people, when they, particularly when they can pay, do pay. Because I think on particularly programs like this, if people are going to participate in rehabilitation, whether it's from drug or alcohol or even anything, people have to decide in their own mind, number one, that they want to do it for it to be effective, and number two, if it's free, it's not going to, you know, it's easier for them to just keep coming back to it. If they've got to pay a little bit for it, even, that it's important. So I hope we start working in that, not only for the outcomes measures, but also try and standardize some requirements around the state for when you get a nonprofit grant, that these guys are requiring some things from the people that they serve.
Representative Grusendorf?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I share some of the same frustrations you have. I've been kicking around in the state and politics for 20-some years, and it always bothered me when I looked at the salaries that some of these people were getting and then comparing it to other professions and what their responsibilities were as well, and did indeed look at empire building within some of these programs. But then on the other hand, in our hearing the testimony of those people who have benefited from the service, they all told us that I'd probably either be dead, which would have been a loss and a cost, or I would be in jail, which definitely would have been a cost to the state, or I may have killed somebody, probably inadvertently through their actions, driving automobile, or perhaps either taking a weapon to somebody. And of course, that's a cost and a loss, too. So I have those same feelings, Mr. Chairman, that but I see the benefits of it, but I think with your wording and the department's understanding of how we feel about it, that maybe you could make this suggestion to those people that are running these programs that, hey, look at what you're doing there at the upper level and start putting it out into services to your clients.
Further discussion on Amendment Number 1. Representative Martin.
I think the best way to get the message through, and this has nothing to do with Dr. Lowe, because I like her and I've known her for years, but it's the department and bureaucracy that runs it for years. And these agencies, if they don't have to raise money, they're not going to raise money. They'll study it to death, and they'll have meetings on the meetings of the meetings, but no way, and even until next year, when you have the same appropriation level, they're going to come in and ask for more, and haven't had time to do the studies or the evaluations and so on. It's just a situation now where, as you give them more money and say, we quite, you know, we've done this 10 years ago, remember, and still it's not decreasing. This is the perfect example where if you make those people who are living off, and some of them, as you say, get paid very well. A nonprofit organization doesn't mean that the employees don't get paid very, very well. That's one of the problems I have with the Heart Foundation and Cancer Foundation. Those people make very big monies under the guise of nonprofit. And I'm worried about that here in the same way any health programs. They literally live off the people who have the problem and we're not solving the problem. Sometimes I kind of think cynically that they wish they don't sober up. We won't have any jobs.
Question.
This is what we're seeing in Alaska. I'd like to see something in the legislation here besides just adding $6 million with some very clear language saying that maybe $3 million will be matched by monies according to the income of the individual, something of that nature, that there is some program receipts attached to this increase.
Any further discussion on Amendment Number 1? Are you ready for the question? To adopt, did the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Terrio.
No.
Representative Brown.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Representative Grusendorf.
Yes.
Representative Hanley.
Yes.
Representative Hoffman.
Yes.
Representative Martin.
Pass.
Representative Navarre. Representative Larson.
Yes.
Excuse me, Representative Cornell.
Yes.
Representative McClain.
Yes.
Representative Martin?
No.
Okay, please note that amendment number one has been adopted. Amendment number two, Representative Henley.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number two, and the department actually brought this to my attention. In fact, I think they even typed it up and I wrote my name in. We asked them to institute a co-payment plan, which they thought they could do. However, it appears that we had not applied the amount to both facility and non-facility, and this makes the proper correction. It is a... It's a net zero, but it reflects in the proper BRUs the intent to implement that co-payment plan that we had in the subcommittee report.
So Representative Hanley then moves amendment number two. And can we have some discussion from the department in regards to it?
Mr. Chairman, I'm Janet Clark from the Department of Health and Social Services. Representative Hanley characterize this accurately. In looking at the subcommittee's work, we found that it would strengthen our position if we had some of the co-payment reduction in the facility component. We've testified before to this committee that sometimes our hands are a little more tied with dealing with facilities on reducing and doing cost containment. So we believe this would help us, and we urge the committee to adopt this amendment.
Further discussion on amendment number two? Are there any objections to amendment number two? Any objections? Hearing none, amendment number two has been adopted. Amendment number three, Representative Henley.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number three. It reduces travel below the FY24 authorized level. It was pointed out to me after we closed out our budget, we had done reductions from the governor's proposed levels and actually had increased travel in the department. And, of course, travel has been a... issue with this particular department, but we felt that a slight reduction below FY94 was appropriate, and that's where the number came.
Representative Hoffman?
Can we have a response from the administration on what impacts this $400,000 reduction would have on health care in Alaska?
Mr. Chairman, I think that, and Representative Hoffman, we do have a lot of travel, as we pointed out earlier, that is required in order to keep the health system going. To take this cut, we would have to limit it to our administrative travel, and this would be a healthy cut for us. Whether we can manage that or not, I don't know, but we have a good share of our travel budget is federal money. A large share of it is federally funded, so that our GF amounts are less than our total budget looks like.
Mr. Chairman, I also might add, some of our large travel components are those that provide direct service to the public, our public health nursing component, in our family new services, regional components for social workers, where we're providing escort travel and client travel, in addition to social worker travel or itinerant travel. Some of our other large components are eligibility determination, where we have eligibility workers traveling to villages, et cetera. So while our travel budget is certainly significant, much of our large travel components are those that are out there providing direct service to the people.
Any further discussion in regards to amendment number three? Are there objections to amendment number three?
Okay.
Any objections? Will the clerk call the roll?
Representative Brown?
No.
Representative Foster?
Yes.
Representative Grusendorf?
No.
Representative Hanley?
Yes.
Representative Hoffman?
No.
Representative Martin?
Yes.
Representative Navarre?
Yes.
Representative Parnell?
Yes.
Representative Terrio?
Yes.
Representative Larson?
Yes.
Representative McClain?
Yes.
Representative Foster?
Yes.
Please note that amendment number three has been adopted. Amendment number four, Representative Henley.
Mr. Chairman, number four, we had added an increment in the Health and Social Services budget for a program that we'd put into the administration last year. And I just felt that, particularly given the, we didn't get a lot of discussion on it, and I'm sure they can use the money, there's no question about that, but particularly given the revenue situation, Just felt that adding new money to increase services, when this was one of our suggestions, it didn't even come from the department. Actually, it would be going over to administration, that it was not appropriate at the time.
Any discussion, Representative Brown?
Well, it's my understanding, and I was wondering, is there someone here from the Mental Health Board? Can we hear briefly from someone who can explain the impact of this? It's my understanding this was a proposal from the Mental Health Board for Alzheimer's services.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Deborah Smith. I'm the Executive Director of the Board. Representative Brown is correct. This is part of one of the increments that we had proposed for FY95 for the Elder Alaskans Commission to serve the Alzheimer's disease-related dementia beneficiary group. Since that group does not qualify for Project Choice, and you're all familiar now with Project Choice, this is to bring care coordination and brokered services for that group, the same kinds of services that would be available had that individual been eligible for Project Choice. It's to keep them out of institutions and keep them at home where they can be cared for much less expensively.
Any further discussion, Representative Brown?
And where, what part of the state would this, would these services be provided?
It's my understanding that, Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, that there was a pilot project in Fairbanks, and this would add another community, as yet unknown, as another pilot site.
And that would be determined by the Department of Administration?
The Elder Alaskans Commission,
Elder.
Yes.
Further discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk please call the roll on the adoption of Amendment Number 4?
Representative Foster.
Pass.
Representative Brewster.
No.
Representative Hadley.
Yes.
Representative Hoffman.
No.
Representative Martin.
Yes.
Representative Navarre.
No.
Representative Parnell.
Yes.
Representative Terrio.
Yes.
Representative Brown.
No.
Representative McLean.
Yes.
Representative Larson.
No.
Representative Foster.
No.
5 nay, 6 yay.
Madam Clerk, I'm going to change my vote from nay to yay.
6 yay, 5 nay.
Please note that Amendment Number 4 has been adopted. Amendment Number 5, Representative Henley.
We could probably spend a couple hours on this one, Mr. Chairman. It's only a little bit. I'd move it, and we can discuss it briefly. We've been going back and forth. There's been a bill before the legislature. Representative Davis has one. this is the Medicaid auditors, and this would be a $50,000 reduction, and moving to contractual the rest of them rather than the. Having the people in the audit division be employees.
What are they? I don't see.
You may want to hear from the department.
Yeah.
Mm.
Jay. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Jay Livey, Health and Social Services. we oppose this reduction. In FY95, the facilities portion of the Medicaid budget was about $128 million. That's a significant increase over the previous year. We don't have as many tools to control the facilities portion of the budget as we do the non-facility, which is one of the reasons why many of the Medicaid reductions that occurred this year in the budget occurred in the non-facility component. One of the reasons that the facility portion of the budget is so hard to control is because of the Boren Amendment, which is a federal law that essentially limits how we can control the expenditures to hospitals and nursing homes. One of the few tools we have to control how much money hospitals and nursing homes spend, how much Medicaid money they spend, is to be able to go out and do audits. This reduction, Mr. Chairman, would be, it's a GF reduction. We get federal money for our audits, so this is a, doubles the reduction, essentially. Two audit positions. We estimate that each audit position can identify about $1.3 million or so of excess cost to the state.
Mr. Chairman, I might add, in this budget reduction, there was already in the subcommittee a $50,000 general fund reduction as well. So the net effect of the of all of these reductions would be about $200,000 to our audit, our seven-member audit unit.
Other discussion? Hearing none, would the clerk call the roll?
Representative Representative Rosenberg?
No.
Representative Hanley?
Yes.
Representative Hoffman?
No.
Representative Martin?
Yes.
Representative Navarre?
No.
Representative Parnell?
Yes.
Representative Terrio?
Yes.
Representative Brown?
No.
Representative Foster?
No.
Representative Larson?
No.
Representative McLean?
Yes.
5 yeas, 6 nays.
Please note that number 5 has been failed to be adopted. Amendment number 6, Representative Hoffman.
I think we've taken care of, this is, I'm offering this on behalf of Representative Bryson. If he could come forward, I think some of them have already been addressed, particularly the reduction to travel. So maybe he might want to make some comments before I move the amendment.
Hey, Representative Bryce, welcome to House Finance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Possibly what we could do is strike the two reductions and the $125,000 addition and take the increment of $400,000 to designate an evaluation and treatment by itself. My big concern, as we've discussed in the subcommittee, was that for the whole API 2000 program to be effective within the state, we need a well-established community-based system of services. Currently, there's been some concern as to whether or not that level of service provided at the community level is adequate. Providing $400,000 into designated evaluation and treatment, I believe, would help address some of the concerns that were raised within or at subcommittee about adequately funding those community-based programs, which API 2000 is so incumbent upon.
Yes, I understand it then of the four components that are before us in amendment number 6, the only one that we're referring to right now would be, I guess, the third one.
So moved, Mr.
Chairman. Second from the bottom, the $400,000 general fund mental health trust income account.
That's mainly due to the fact that I was looking at getting quite a bit of money from the travel line, but there's been an amendment passed which would reduce the travel line by $400,000. So it would basically be using that $400,000 to pay for that these types of programs.
The, I would take it then that Representative Hoffman's motion to adopt is just this one portion then at this time.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, further discussion? Representative Hanley.
Maybe we could hear from the department. I know we went through some of this as far as their, I can't remember all the concerns. I think they're moving people, so the costs of some of these beds in some certain communities and how they're dealing with it.
I didn't hear the question. I'm sorry.
Maybe you could explain this, why.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hanley, the issue of designated evaluation and treatment, we have had a lot of involvement and concern this past year in the fact that we don't have enough funds to reimburse the hospitals that are willing to provide designated treatment beds for mentally ill at the level that they say they must have in order to participate. So two hospitals, one in Juneau and one in Fairbanks, have informed us that they can no longer provide that service. So in Fairbanks and in Juneau, people are not able to be served. They need to be hospitalized for treatment at API in Anchorage or at Sitka at Mount Edgecombe. So that's pretty much the crux. It's a costly process that basically about $1,000 a day plus costs of medical doctors is what the hospitals say they must get from us in order to provide this service.
Representative Hanley?
Did we reduce this in our subcommittee? How much did we reduce it?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hanley, the governor had requested this additional $400,000, and it was reduced in its entirety in the subcommittee.
Right. So this was an increment requested above last year?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hanley, as you recall, we had freed up about $5 million from API's budget, and the department had reallocated that $5 million, and most of that was deleted with the subcommittee recommendation. So.
They brought in federal, and it's to the department's credit, they brought in a bunch of federal money that could be used at API, about $7 million, and what they did is replaced $5 million of general funds and went out and spread out increases in a lot of areas with that general fund to programs that was out there. And what we did trying to keep the program costs down was basically deny most of those increases that were utilized. And this was one of them. This was an increment above the previous year's level for this particular program of $400,000, and we basically denied that increment. And that's what's coming back here is $400,000, so just so people are clear.
Further discussion? Okay, will the clerk call the roll on amendment number 6?
Representative Hanley. Could I ask a procedural question? Are we only voting on the third item only? Is that correct?
That is correct. That's the only thing that was moved on this amendment.
Representative Hanley.
No.
Representative Hoffman.
Yes.
Representative Martin.
No.
Representative Navarre.
No.
Representative Parnell.
No.
Representative Theriault.
No.
Representative Brown.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
No.
Representative Grusenberg.
Yes.
Representative McLean.
No.
President Larson?
No. Please note that amendment number 6 has failed adoption. Amendment number 7, Representative Navarre.
Chairman, I move the amendment.
Under discussion, Representative Hanley.
Mr. Chair, maybe we could talk to the department. I think what we did here was right now they are not collecting any money from the people that are providing these services. And I think the department could discuss if, and even if this does, I wouldn't want to reduce interagency receipts. It should be a straight increment if you want to add the money back. What we had done is taken out $200,000, and I think the department can respond to whether they think from the clients that they serve. And it's similar to the alcohol grants, I guess, in that we'd never see them as program receipts because they don't come to the state. But right now, they're not.
Anything to add?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hanley, I would, again, as similar to the alcohol and drug abuse programs that we have moved forward in beginning to have co-payment or part payment for these services. And I think it is an area where we really can generate and get off to a start in having people pay more for these services and do a better job of collecting where insurance is available, et cetera. And I don't think our record to date is very good, but I think that it is a potential, again, to really encourage and perhaps put right into the grant requirements, et cetera, that there will be some payment from the recipients.
Representative Navarre?
Yeah. At what level do you think you can?
Well, I don't think 200,000 the first year seems to be very high, and I can't respond to that. I don't know if Janet or anyone from
Mr. Chairman, Representative Navarre, we have not really looked at these grantees to see what might be available. We believe that with some encouragement, the grantees could charge for certain services. I would say, however, that the reduction of interagency receipts is really problematic for us, and I would recommend to the committee that you not include that. The interagency receipts that we received did not increase in the subcommittee's recommendation. Those were our receipts we received from Department of Education for a federal pass-through.
Chairman, do we have to leave that ease?
Sure. Ms. Senatees. Representative Navarre?
I'd like to amend the amendment to eliminate the reduction in the interagency receipts, change the addition to 100,000 general fund increment, and eliminate the reduction in legislative operating budget as a reflection of the fact that we've already...
Okay, does everyone understand the motion to amend amendment number 7? Are there any objections to amend to the motion to amend amendment number 7? Hearing no objections, then amendment number 7 has been amended. Further discussion on amendment number 7 as amended?
Question.
Any of the questions been called? Would you please call the roll?
Representative Hoffman?
Yes.
Representative Martin?
No. New
Representative
program.
Barr?
Yes.
Representative Parnell?
No.
Representative Terrio?
No.
Representative Brown?
Yes.
Representative Foster?
No.
Representative Grusendorf?
Yes.
Representative Hanley?
No.
Representative Larson?
No.
Representative McClain?
No.
Amendment number 7 has failed adoption. And amendment number 8, Representative Hoffman.
Withdraw.
Pardon?
Withdraw.
Amendment number 8 has been withdrawn. Amendment number 9, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to move an amendment to reduce the amount of the ad to $51,600, even though I ideally would like to see us increase it by the amount proposed. I don't think that's likely to pass. So I'd like to briefly discuss why I would like to see it increased by $51,600. The insert there would be $1,700,007. 1,700,700 is the new insert instead of 2,208,000. Mr. Chairman, is and the addition would be 51,600. Mr. Chairman, the Anchorage Fairbanks block grant was started a number of years ago, and eventually was placed in the statute. In 1991, legislation set up this thing in the statute. The understanding at that time was that we were going to be reducing, or rather that the program would be paid for by an increasing match at the local level. And we're now in the first year, and we're debating the level of funding for the second year, during which the local communities are picking up 30%, and then it's provided to go on to 50% eventually to be paid for by the state, and the local government's 50-50. Mr. Chairman, an unfortunate thing happened from the perspective of Anchorage in that unanticipated results from language in that bill that at the time the funding assumptions were made, Fairbanks was not getting the grant for the whole borough, but rather only for the city of Fairbanks. And after they changed their, application to include those additional residents, it resulted in a big decrease in the amount going to Anchorage and a fairly substantial increase in the amount going to Fairbanks. And, Mr. Chairman, if we added this amount to it, what it would result in is that Anchorage, with the 30% local match, would essentially get what was anticipated at the time that the legislation was passed. So what I'm trying to do here is lessen the blow of the double whammy, both of the 30% kicking in as well as this other problem that I don't believe that we were aware of at the time that language was passed. In fact, I was told by Senator Ellis that he asked about this on the Senate floor when the bill was considered, and was told by Senator Sharp that no, this wasn't going to have this result. But in fact, it did have that result, and Anchorage has been penalized because of it. So I don't know if this is clear to the committee. I know it's clear to Representative Hanley, who I think has worked to try to, and did in the subcommittee, restore some money to this. And I think a little bit more restoration would help soften the reductions. And
I'd just also like to say that this is a very important program in the municipality of Anchorage. It serves a long list of nonprofit agencies. I could mention them, or I have a specific list if anybody would like to see it, but it goes to poor people, needy people. It's estimated about 11% of the people served are from somewhere else other than Anchorage that do come through Anchorage or come to Anchorage specifically to get services of various types. Anchorage is a hub in that respect and does serve people from all over the state. Basically, these dollars go to programs for children, seniors, health care, women, food shelters, children's programs, disabled programs, literacy. A particularly important one in the neighborhood I represent is the Anchorage Neighborhood Health Center, which is the only place, one of the only places that poor people can go for basic health services. So it's a very important thing to our municipality. We did have a request from the municipality of Anchorage asking us to restore it to the amount that I proposed in the original amendment, or asking us to add that much into the original amendment. I don't think that's realistic under the circumstances. But I worry about the municipality's ability to make the 30% match, considering the other reductions that are now in this budget for municipal assistance and revenue sharing. I think our municipality is going to be severely strained in coming up with 30%. So with all that said, I'd move amendment number 9 and ask your support for adding $51,600.
Any further discussion? Are we ready for the question? Will the clerk please call the question on amendment number 9?
Representative Martin?
No.
Representative Navarro?
Yes.
Representative Parnell?
No.
Representative Terrio?
Pass.
Representative Brown?
Yes.
Representative Foster?
No.
Representative Grusendorf?
Yes.
Representative Hanley?
No.
Representative Hoffman?
Yes.
Representative McClain?
No.
Representative Larson?
No.
Representative Terrio?
Yes.
Will you please note that amendment number 9 has failed adoption. Amendment number 10, Representative Hanley.
Mr. Chairman, we get to some intent language now, and this is number 10 and number 11 are the same language that just apply to two different BRUs in the budget. So when I explain one, I think we can. Oh no, never mind. Number 11 and 12 are the same. I'm sorry. Number 10 is. We heard testimony from the department about instituting a drug formulary, and we just want to make sure we've actually reduced their budget so that we hope they can implement it in the last quarter of the fiscal year, and this is just the intent that they will implement a drug formulary.
Any discussion? Any objections to amendment number 10? Hearing none, amendment number 10 has been adopted. Amendment number 11?
Mr. Chairman, 11 and 12, I'm sorry, from before, are the same intent language. One's under Medicaid non-facilities and the other is under facilities. We're just asking them to implement when financially sound recipient deductibles, co-insurance, and co-payments. That is the intent. That we kind of dealt with that in one of our amendments earlier, but this is just intent language to make it clear that that's what we want.
Any objections to amendment number 11? None. Been adopted. Amendment number 12.
It's just a different BRU.
Yeah, but did you move them both together?
I'll move 12 now.
Any objections to number 12? Hearing none. Amendment number 12 has been adopted. Amendment number 13, Representative Henley.
This is the intent. I think the department understood this. When we made a reduction in this particular component, we wanted to make sure where it was coming from, that they had excess beds, I believe.
They had excess beds?
We can hear from the department.
Mr. Chairman, in the residential child care component, the subcommittee reduced $250,000. Currently, Alaska Children's Services gets a grant from the department for $1 million for family new services, and they also are a Medicaid facility. What we found is that we basically had excess capacity in Alaska Children's Services and family new services, and we will not use all those beds that we bought.
Thank you.
Further discussion on amendment number 13. Any objections? Amendment number 13 has been adopted. Amendment number 14, Representative Martin.
Yes, sir. Number 14 is the deletion from $7,085,000 to insert $6,684,000.
That's object. One you'll
have. Okay.
Hearing objections, do we have any discussion?
Yes, sir.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, Alaska is only one of 13 states that pay for abortions. It had been upheld by the Supreme Court that a state does not have to pay for abortions, especially elected abortions. And Congress regularly does not allow federal monies to be used for abortions. Major reason for that, it's so offensive in this nation, and especially in this state. It should probably be more offensive in this state, because when you look at the intent of the framers of our Constitution, they made it very clear what they meant by the inalienable right to life of all individuals. And they made it very clear that an unborn child is a person that should have the full protection of the state in protecting their life. And it's no different than the protection of the life of the criminal. And that's the reason why we don't have capital punishment. Because in Alaska, human life had a high degree of protection pertaining to other aspects of government responsibility. And I think in this year here, especially when we're cutting the budget on other meaningful programs, that we should stop killing children. It's no easy issue. We kill 3 children every working day in this state, and it's going up in the last decade. In this last year, it has decreased somewhat by about 30 more live children being born. But I think now is the time to answer this problem as far as financing it. I cannot understand why these young ladies or old ladies, whoever they may be, that get in trouble, do not make the male a lot more responsible for his action. It's not that a lot of them aren't poor, just that they found the quickest way to come in for abortion just through the state medical programs or clinics. We don't know where they're all at. We just get the bill and we pay it without asking too many questions. And I think it's time now to really get serious about this question, especially when we are cutting funds in so many other critical areas. And we're all going to talk about the poor and the poor and the poor. It's from my experience that the poor are the ones that really want their children. They have a lot more respect for their children and meaning of children and of life. They don't need the material things that most of us live on. Also, I'm very, very disturbed throughout the state how disproportionate it is that minorities have a much higher rate of abortions than other groups. I'm not going to call it genocide program, but I am going to express a concern where they're just unreasonable when minorities are, I think it's mostly the clinics run by white people. We had the same trouble when I was in Arkansas. There's a much higher proportion of abortions in the white clinics for minorities than it was for whites. It's not that the clinics were receiving more white people or black people. It's just for some reason or other they got talked into it more. I think that this thing, I've always been opposed to it, and I'll try every year to try to cut out the monies. This $400,000 is just about the number of dollars that were spent last year for about 500 in fiscal year 83 anyway. 859 children were killed through abortions at about $500 apiece.
Further discussion? Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Martin brings up clearly a moral question, but I just don't agree with him that a fetus has the status of a person. And I very much feel that this difficult decision he's referring to must remain the woman's choice. Must remain. This is a ridiculous amendment.
Further discussion on amendment number 14.
Yes, sir.
Further discussion. Representative Martin, and we're going to vote.
Well, the word fetus came up. And if you look in the medical journals, you look in Weber's dictionary, fetus means unborn child, small child. Because of the Latin word, doesn't mean we don't have another meaning to it.
Question.
Would you please call the roll?
Representative Navarre.
No.
Representative Parnell.
Yes.
Representative Theriault.
Yes.
Representative Brown.
No.
Representative Foster.
No.
Representative Grusendorf.
No.
Representative Hanley.
Yes.
Representative Hoffman. Representative Martin.
Yes.
Representative Larson.
No.
Representative McClain.
No.
Four yeas, six nays.
Will you please note, Amendment number 4 is bill adoption, Amendment number 15. Representative Martin.
Mr. Chairman, this has to do with the overall policy of the state government, and it's quite in line with the federal government, almost exactly the same wording, that public monies will not be used for abortions. And in this case here, if it's right for Congress to say that federal monies and tax monies will not be for abortions, why should we say that state monies will be used for abortions? That's the number one reason that state monies are being used for abortions, because they said, well, we get the Medicaid program, and Medicare won't be anymore, Medicaid program, so therefore, since they allow federal money for abortions, we'll use state monies. It's pretty poor rationale, and I think that this is saying very clearly through intent, we do not want state revenues used for abortions.
Question.
The Representative Martin has moved amendment number 15.
Object.
Hearing objection, is there any discussion? And would you please call the roll, please?
Representative Cornell.
Yes.
Representative Terrio.
Yes.
Representative Brown.
No.
Representative Foster.
No.
Representative Krusendorf.
No.
Representative Hanley.
Yes.
Representative Hoffman. Representative Martin.
Yes.
Representative Navarro. Representative McClain.
No.
Representative Larson.
No.
Four yeas, six nays.
Do we have any other amendments to the HESS budget? And then we thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I didn't bring my front section of the budget with me.
I got mine. Want to use it?
So,
thank
you. Why don't we take a 5 minute at ease?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And I don't plan on going beyond 5 o'clock here, so let's do as much as we can on the front section. And then we'll leave tomorrow for our cleanup work. Oh, I got this part. I don't have the bill. I got to go get my bill.
I don't have mine either. Depends on the office.
Yeah.
For the front section, just to take the inflation proof for you. Take section 13.
Oh boy, that one will be some discussion.
Yeah.
Okay, at this time, we call the committee back to order. We have Representative Martin, Chairman McClain, and myself.
That's 6 votes, sir. We got made.
We have a troika here. You don't know what evil lurks in the hearts of men and women. But Terry knows.
Sound like the shadows.
Now we have Representative Terrio and Hoffman. Hanley, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have a quorum. We're able to conduct business. On the front section so far, we have amendment number 1 by Representative Hoffman. And I think we'll almost have to walk through those one at a time. Is that what your proposal would be, Representative Hoffman?
I think I have a new amendment number 1.
Before we accept the motion, I just kind of wanted to go down to, then when we get to a portion of the front section where we have an amendment, we can take that up. And let me just roll through the front section like this. I'll say if there are any objections to section number 1. If there's nothing, we'll go to section number 2 and so forth.
So is there someone?
If we have a copy of the bill with us, I think it's... And this part, it's good to have the bill with us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Oh, wait, that's section number.
Too hush.
Okay. Can we go to number two first, Mr. Chairman?
Section two?
No, we're going to start with, we work down the line, Representative Hoff, and then we'll come to wherever one of your amendments will take effect. We'll take it at that time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That one that was just handed out is a new number two.
This is the new number two?
Right.
Mr. Chairman, is there going to be
Representative Brown's amendment will be number three then.
Mr. Chairman, is there going to be someone here from O&B? I'm going to do it in the dark.
Oh, we're all set. We got our stand.
Okay. Got them accordingly.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to hold number one and go to number two.
Okay, what I want to do at this time, though, is there any objection? We all got a copy of House Bill 370 in front of us. Section number one includes within the general fund the amount appropriated in this act. The following amounts are from the unreserved special account in the general fund. That's the highway fuel tax and the aviation fuel tax. Are there any objections to amendment number one? Hearing none. Section one. Section two. Federal or other program receipts as defined under AS 3705-146 that exceed the amount appropriated in this act are appropriated conditioned upon compliance with the program review provisions. Any questions on section two? Any objections? Okay, section three. And this one I do want to have some discussion on. If federal or other program receipts as defined under AS 3705-146 exceed the estimate appropriated by this act, the appropriation from the state funds for the affected programs may be reduced by amounts of the excess if the reductions are consistent with applicable federal statute.
Mm-hmm.
And the word may, which is the first word on line 13, might be appropriate for a discussion on whether that word may shall be shall or not.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if federal or other program receipts exceed the estimates appropriated by this act, the appropriations from state funds for the effective program may be reduced. In other words, what the question is, if you have a program with so much federal money and so much state money, and more federal money comes in,
mm-hmm.
right now it says you may reduce the general fund. Should we say we shall reduce
shall
the general fund within that port? Representative Martin.
Well, I'd like to motion that we do put a shall in there, sir, because we see this in budget and audit all the time, and then we never really reduce the general fund that was put in there in the first place in case federal receipts do not exceed our expectations. I think we're going to see that in subsection, or section number five, just the opposite.
Okay, Representative Grusendorf, Ontario.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure because I don't, not that familiar with the program, but what about Medicaid if we happen to get more federal funds? And we do have a priority listing of 1 through 14, and mm-hmm. we state in the law that if there's not funds available, the department is to, you know, these are, and then they have to go down the list that we have.
And
I guess maybe.
Can I bring this up? You notice I haven't moved it yet. I bring it up for discussion here. Right now, if the funds are greater than anticipated, they can always come to budget and audit. I just wonder if maybe Mr. Greeney might have a comment he would like to make in regards to Section 3.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not suggesting a definitive answer here, but a couple of potential problems does occur to me just off the top of my head. Number one would be that if there was a maintenance of effort required under the federal law, that the shall would somehow cause a problem there. It may not, because it goes on and says if the reductions are consistent with federal applicable federal statutes. So if that were interpreted to mean that that would cover the maintenance of effort requirement, that would probably be okay. The one other consideration would be whether or not this is somehow constituted a delegation of legislative authority to the administration or to the executive. In other words, back in 87 when the Sheffield reductions were attempted, they were a pro rata and a non-specific reduction, or they were specific reductions, but a superior court held that the legislature needed to specifically enact them, which they did in the subsequent section. I don't know if that's a problem, but I just wanted to surface it.
Any further discussion? Representative Terrio. Well,
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure your example, were you thinking that the increase in federal funds would then offset the decrease in general fund? I mean, it may be that there's a change in the percentage match, and that increase in federal funds is predicated on maintaining that level of general funds.
Yeah, that's what Mr. Greeny was saying. In bringing this up, right now you anticipate what the other fund sources are. If it's greater than anticipated, you oftentimes see the agencies before budget audit asking for additional program receipt authority, and whether those program receipts are general fund program receipts or federal funds, they can come to budget audit. Should we say first they must use that excess funds to reduce the amount of general fund that has been appropriated for that program? Which of course would mean that budget audit would have a lot less requests. But I just thought it was important enough to bring out for discussion at this time. Mr. Greeny did point out a couple of concerns that he had. Maybe this is something we should leave as is, but probably overnight we should think about it a little bit and see if we want to come back and visit it or not. Representative Brown?
Who is the maybe reduced aimed at, the agency or LBNA?
Well, the maybe reduced would be at the agency if they get more money than they anticipate, that they would have to reduce the amount of general funds they use accordingly.
But they'd only be able to accept those increases in the federal funds if they come to LBNA, right, under Section 2? Well,
that's the way it is now. Okay, why don't we think about it overnight, okay?
Mr. Chairman, I did make a motion to shell.
Representative Hanley?
I was just going to say, I guess it's, maybe we should find out why it's even in here. Right now, the agencies don't have to spend everything, I don't think, that we appropriate. So if you...
Let's ask Mr. Hogan with his experience. Put him on
the honorable gentleman. It'd be worth checking on why the section's here and...
Okay, the question is, why is the section here, and any light you can give us in regards to Mayor Schell?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Jay Hogan. I'm under contract to House Finance. The sad answer is we've always done it this way. We have had in the past changes. There have been a couple of years when they did put the word shall in. I'm not sure that anything more happened than usual. The agency that would normally make the reduction would be the particular agency that received the funds in cooperation and under instruction from OMB. It is a provision that is found in some states to force, if you will, honesty in budgeting. Example, if you had an agency that characteristically understated its receipts from non-general fund sources and then miraculously brought those funds forward throughout the course of the year, this would get at that situation. So it's something that you might consider in tighter times.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Martin.
I did move that we put Shell in there, but I can also see from what Mr. Hogan mentioned that it's kind of a catch-22. Once we put Shell in there, maybe the agencies won't seek federal monies to match what they need within state programs. And therefore, we're stuck with the maximum of general funds being used. It can go both ways.
Okay, is there anything, does anyone object to leaving Section 3 the way it is at this time?
I'll remove my motion.
Okay. None then? Good. We'll go to section number 4. Except as provided in section 5 of this act, the federal or other program receipts as defined under AS 3705-146 fall short of the estimates appropriated by this act, the affected appropriation is reduced by the amount of the shortfall in receipts. Any objections to section 4? Okay.
Number 5, question.
Section number 5.
So I do have questions on that one.
On section number 5, we're trying to find out how much money is being spent. So it would be...
I've got it.
I intend to hold it until we can get some more information on section number 5.
That's good. I just want to make a motion and keep that at holding just so that we delete section number 5, because we really don't know over the years how much has been spent in anticipation of federal monies, and then we don't have it, so automatically we are forced as legislators by obligation to supplement the monies they've already spent. And we see that in almost every department. It's almost just the opposite of number 2, or number 3, the one we just talked about. Number 3.
Okay, Representative Hanley has some information.
Maybe the department would want to respond as well. It's a
every department.
It's fairly complicated in the way the big block grant works. Basically, I've got a chart here that shows all the monies that we've received, and there have been a couple of years where we've actually replaced general funds for federal funds, but there have been other years when we haven't used as much of the general funds as we've appropriated, and it all goes to how much we recover or collect on these program receipts, I guess you'd call it. And there's an estimate, I think, and I think maybe the department should come talk to it, because I haven't had a chance to look at this for a while. They authorize a certain amount of federal funds and then general funds as well. And
I see Ms. Clark is going to give us some information.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Janet Clark with the Department of Health and Social Services. The Title 20 Social Services Block Grant Offset is a component in Health and Social Services where there's a negative general fund amount of, in the governor's budget, of $6.4 million negative general fund, and an offsetting federal Title 20 funds of $6.4 million. The reason that language is in the front section of the budget is, as Representative Hanley described, all of our activities, again, have to be earned. And what we do is the general fund activities in Family and Youth Services, where we spend the general funds, are then identified and used to offset the federal funds that are then received. So rather than put the negative general fund dollars throughout the Division of Family and Youth Services budget, we put them in one place. But again, we still have to do the appropriate activities within the division's budget to gain the federal funds. So having a separate component has worked well for the department over the years, and having that section in the front section has allowed us to deal with the problems that have occurred in the past where there have been under or over estimates.
Question for Ms. Clark, Representative Martin.
Well, Mr. Chairman, because we really don't monitor this very well during the year, there's no mechanism outside of the Budget and Audit Committee. I'd just soon see this particular section deleted, and then the department could come to the Budget and Audit Committee during the interim when we hold 3 or 4 meetings and tell us where the problems are. And that way, on behalf of the total legislatives, we know how much general funds are going to be used or how they're going to gain new federal monies. This here, and we have a couple other sections that are even worse, is just too open, and that's where we get caught year in and year out with supplemental appropriations or appropriation by obligations, and we don't know until too late that we allow the open window.
Representative Henry?
It's a tough one. If you didn't have this in, I suppose you could say they should come in for a supplemental, but one of the problems with that is that they are still in, for FY94, which we are currently in, receipts, we put in $6.394 million, and year to date, they've taken in $4.68. So they're on track, and through the rest of the year, they anticipate collecting another $1.7 million because it goes right up till the end of the fiscal year, and they are not going to know exactly how much they collect until right at the end of the fiscal year. I mean, they will, I suppose if they were 20% over or under, they'd be able to tell you that something was afoot, but generally they have not been, and they're not going to know until you get right down to the last 2 weeks of the fiscal year, whether, because like I said, for right now, there are $1.7 million outstanding of collections that they need to collect.
Further discussion? Representative Martin moved that we delete section number 5. Are there any objections?
Object.
Any objection? Would the clerk call the roll?
Representative Terrio.
Pass.
Representative Brown.
No.
Representative Foster.
Pass.
Representative Krusendorf.
No.
Representative Hanley.
No.
Representative Hoffman.
No.
Representative Martin.
Yes.
Representative Navarro. Representative Parnell. Representative Larson.
No.
Representative McClain.
No.
One yay. Oh, and excuse me, Representative Terrio.
Yes.
Moving along.
Representative Foster.
No.
I've been outvoted.
7 yay. I mean, 2 yay, 7 yay.
Okay, we move on then to section number 6. A, B, and C. Any discussion? Any objections?
Mr. Chairman, my notes indicate Representative Navarre had questions and was seeking information, and seeing as how he's not here, I'll hold it open or ask to on his behalf.
Okay. Question number 7. The amount required to pay interest on revenue anticipation notes issued by the Commissioner of Revenue is appropriated from the General Fund to Department of Revenue. Any objections? Any none? We'll move to Section 8. The amount required to be paid by the state for the principal in of an interest on all issued outstanding state general obligation bonds is appropriated from the General Fund to the State Bond Committee to make all payments by the state required under its guarantee for principal and interest. Any objections? Section 8. Hearing none. Section 9. The sum of $5,705,633 is appropriated from the International Airport Revenue Fund to the State Bond Committee for payment of debt service and trustees on outstanding international airport revenue bonds. Any objections?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Martin.
I have a question on Section 9, similar to 10, 11. 10 and 11 and 12, and they all had to do with trying to find out when's the last time that we've had an opportunity to renegotiate our debt services. And I was told during our hearing with the Department of Revenue, especially in 10 and 11, that if we do some friendly persuasion, that we may be able to force them, which we did, to look into refinancing of our debts. And perhaps we can, in 11 and 12, I'm sorry, 10 and 11, save $400,000, five or $600,000 per year. And I'm thinking the same thing with number 9. I don't know who handles the international revenue bonds, but when was the last time they reevaluated our debts, and can we save?
Okay. Anything, Representative Terrio?
Mr. Chairman, we just got this memo signed by Nancy Schlegel that has proposed some changes to these numbers, and I had written a little note here that sections 8 through 11, kind of a package dealing with the overall debt.
Getting worse.
I just wondered if Shep Schlegel could make some comments since we just got this.
I'm sorry. Oh, Ms. Schlegel, were you able to hear the question?
I didn't hear it either.
Well, I'm just wondering, this memo suggests that the numbers here need to be adjusted. Since we just got this, I'm wondering what comments you can make.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this memo is based on some additional work that the Department of Revenue has done concerning reviewing the debt service payments anticipated for FY95 and realizing that there were some errors in their original calculations. It's my understanding, if I could go back to
Representative Martin's question. It's my understanding that there was refinancing done on the international airport revenue bonds,
okay.
And those numbers.